Mr. Studying the book of Jude right now via Revelation. Tough verse tonight, verses. By tough, I mean the interpretation and understanding of what Jude is doing. Still filled with the Spirit. There's the ordinary, superficial thing that most preachers do with this, unless we want to see what's going on in the text. Why Jude is talking the way he does. Prayer. Teresa Schwartz, her operation was successful. She's slow coming out of it, but as far as the doctors are concerned, I've not heard from Julie and what happened with her injection into the spine. I don't know what happened there. Anything else we need to be in prayer that you are aware of? We had our little prayer time tonight, and people just encourage you to pray for one another. The Daves have their sister and sister-in-law in town, and there are things that need to be solved there. Wes Tuttle and his family need our prayers, need us looking for where God wants you to work. He needs our prayers. Jerry's not having good hunting luck. He needs our prayers. No, not now. Don't you go in November? Don't you go again in November or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, just need each other's prayers. Tana, Larry, and Brian, and their little baby. Going through a little crucial time and just grabbing the health. Could have been prayer for each other. Yes.
Sherry's mom had hip surgery today.
Oh. How is she?
Good.
Did she come out okay?
Yeah.
All right, good. Could have been prayer. When did she have it?
Up in Minnesota.
Minnesota, okay. And so we need to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer for your dad.
Yeah.
And, yes.
And him and I talked to Mr. Craig today, and Mr. Craig has.
What kind? I wish you'd talk with me, but nobody wants to. We'll be in prayer. Mr. Crow is a very good friend of Kiss's. The Crows live, they live near her property. And Mr. Crow is just one of those wonderful guys you see in movies. Just a good old farm rancher. He knows it. Kids could entertain you for hours with stories. If you can't get the cows, they're all over and they won't come out. I love the one, they're all in the woods, and we went in there and we did this and we did that. And so Mr. Crow comes over and she sees him disappear in the woods, and a little bit later, here he comes out and the cows are following one by one, just following him back. How did you do that? And they've just been wonderful people in that respect. So we'll be in prayer for Mr. Crow and whatever God is doing. Maybe an opportunity for Tish to talk spiritually again. She's had it in the past. And,
okay.
Good. So, be in prayer there. We'll be in prayer for Wes Tuttle's dad. We kind of know him a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
We a little bit of familiarity with him that wasn't there, and so we got in our mind who were praying far west. That was very nice. I enjoyed that very much. So, need to be in prayer for each other, one another, in so many different ways. I request your prayers and study. Now that Mom is home with the Lord, and I'm hoping the next 2 weeks, 14 days, I can just start gaining a lot of ground. That I'm not complaining, but just gaining a lot of ground and study and things left undone in the last 6-7 weeks. So, be in prayer for one another. Be in prayer about seeing what Jude is doing in this passage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the Spirit inspired you to write this brief letter just the way you wanted it. It's an overwhelming book. There's just so much. On one hand, it can look like it's kind of simple, superficial. Just a nice little letter telling Christians not to sin. Or we can allow your Spirit to take us in and show us the universal impact of what Jesus is talking about from beginning to end. Pray your Spirit will open our eyes and ears to the things that you would have us to see and hear tonight, Father. Pray your Spirit will give me the words, clarity and simplicity of communicating these things. Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's read 7 and 8. See what you do with it. Jude 1, 7 and 8. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way, in the same way, as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same manner, these men, also by dreaming, defile the flesh with just authority, with vile angelic majesties. There's so much here we could study. So many different ways to go at it. It's been a long time. What I'd like you to do is be able to look at verse 7 and 8, first of all, in the context of Jude's purpose of writing. The purpose of writing is, remember, that we fight for faith in the midst of false teachers. Now, what a lot of people do superficially is that there are a lot of false teachers coming along telling us that immorality is all right. It's not. These are the false teachers, and those are the ones we have to fight against. If that's all you want to see, that's fine. But, because that's where most teachers dwell, is in the superficial level of licentiousness. You never see what's going on with the false teachers and the all-important issue of fighting for faith. And when I was going through this, I just several times would stop and pray, how can I communicate this? Father, just pray that your Spirit will use me to open the eyes of those who want to see what's going on that is so vital, so important in regard to the false teachers. Now, let's start off with this. What is at the heart? What is at the heart of a false teacher? What is at the heart of a false teacher is to distort truth. To distort, I'm going to put the truth, to distort the truth. But remember, we want to do that, and this is the secret of being a false teacher, without people knowing that that's what they're doing. Without you realizing that they've distorted the truth and have taken you away from the truth. That's the art of a good false teacher. And better the lie, better the false teacher. People, listen. If a false teacher can distort the truth of the gospel. Now, I'm going to use that phrase tonight. And so let's just, right from the very beginning, those of you here, those of you on the internet, those of you on tape. When I say truth of the gospel, this is a Pauline phrase taken out of Galatians. And what we have seen, very quickly, is that the gospel is for both unbeliever and believer. And this is well documented, not only in Galatians, but in other writings. And the truth of the gospel is simply this. Our God will do it all I will do it alone. And if you want my work, it's by faith. That's how we do it. That's what I mean by the truth of the gospel. The gospel is good news. The good news is God has done all that is necessary, and all that you and I have to do is trust Him to receive what He, God, has done. Now, if a false teacher can distort the truth of the gospel, two things are accomplished in distorting the truth of the gospel. This is so important to understand in Jude. Two things are accomplished if I can distort the truth of the gospel. One, you distort the truth about God. I would like to say you distort God, but you distort, what they do is distort the truth about God. Now what I'm saying here is one's view of God. You distort the truth about one's view of God. In other words, get man to have a false view of God. That's the first thing, and that's Satan's real objective. Distort the truth about God. Get man to have a false view about God. Now there's a second objective very close to this. Present God's plan. Prevent God's plan. I think the older I get, the worse I write. And I thought it, or print, I thought it was bad a long time ago. And I'm not shaky yet, so it isn't that. I don't know what it is. All right, present God's plan, namely, prevent man from being in harmony with God. People, if we talk about what's this all about, it's about man coming in contact with the love of God and being restored in harmony with God. That's what this is all about. Bringing us back to harmony and relationship with God so He can transform us into the image of God, which is where we started. So this is the objective, the false teacher, Satan. I don't know what it was. Flipping through with the TV, it's a movie that they're advertising. They're going to show on one of the movie channels, and the voice is very dramatic. The speaker had a very dramatic voice, and it was positive. One of the dangerous, most important things that Satan has done is to convince man he doesn't exist. I think it's a lot of chill. Because this was just, and then it went through, it's a shoot 'em up, you know, horrible movie that blowing up cars. And it was dealing with evil. And evil really doesn't exist because Satan doesn't exist. This is what I'm talking about in the genius of distorting the truth. Now, what he wants to do is distort the truth about God, our view about God, and prevent the creature, man and angel, from having relationship, rapport with God. People, God made light and darkness. And as clear as that is, false teachers will teach that you can produce light while in darkness. And people buy it. You're in the darkness of sin, the penalty of sin as an unbeliever, you actually can do something to produce the light while you're in that darkness. You're in the darkness of the power of sin as a Christian. You can actually do something. You just confess your sins. You just repent. You just do something and you can make life by what you do. People, this is the type of thing I'm talking about. This is the type of thing we're dealing with. Now, let's talk about what we have on the board. See what we're dealing with. Okay, because this is what he wants to do. Distort the truth about God, prevent us from being in harmony with God. God has made light, God has made darkness. What false teaching wants to do, what the false teachers and the false doctrine wants to do is to distort God's order of things. Now, please listen, because we're going to talk about homosexuality and what Jude is really talking about. Is Jesus talking about queers? No. He's using this as an example of the false teachers. But he's going to use something very dramatic. God has a proper order for things. So, if we get into our minds, what false teachers want to do is to distort God's order. Now, you and I are going to talk about distorting it as far as the gospel is concerned. Jude wants to give you an idea of how powerful it is. People, I'm going to help you understand what these verses are doing. That's what I'm trying to build here with you. God has an order on being reconciled with Him. It is true if you are an unbeliever, and the same truth if you are a believer. In fact, God set it up where you can see how to be reconciled as an unbeliever, then you will know how to be reconciled with Him as a believer. He's got that set up that way. And what a false teacher comes along and wants to do, the false teacher wants to distort how you're reconciled with God as an unbeliever, so that he can distort how you be reconciled as a believer. But if you slip by him on that one, he's still going to use false teachers to distort how to be reconciled with God as a born-again believer. That's his objective. That's what he wants to do. It is the objective of the false teachers to sneak in, distort the truth on how to be reconciled with God as an unbeliever or as a believer. People, believers need to be reconciled with God, and that's who Jude is writing to. Believers need to be reconciled with God when we sin. The question is how? God has an order, but the false teachers want to distort it just as they want to distort it for the unbeliever on being saved. In doing so, going to distort the view of God. Now let's see how this works. Truth about God. Truth about God. The truth about God is, all you have to do is trust me. All you have to do is trust the one I send. That's the truth about God. If you want to be reconciled with me as an unbeliever, believer, trust the one I send. He sent his son for salvation one, or eternal life salvation, by faith. He sent his spirit for experiential sanctification, being reconciled with God as believers, by faith. He does all the work. That's the truth about God. Then a teacher comes along and distorts the simplicity of this truth. And in so doing, they distort the view of God. Plus, and here's the kicker, plus they guarantee you will not be reconciled with God as a believer or unbeliever. Now let's see how they do this. First of all, let's take the first one we have up here. Distort the view about God. How are we going to do that? We're going to take the view, we're going to distort the truth, a God who loves, a God who does everything necessary to be reconciled with Him, a God who acts in our lives so as to save, restore us, simply by trusting Him. Change that, distort our view of God to a God you have to do something for. You have to do something for Him. See, one group may say, well, all you have to do for God is to repent. And that's in the Bible. Show your verses. Another group says, no, you've got to come to the church, and you've got to do penance, you've got to do this. So the one group wants to say, no, I didn't know that. It's just this. But what I want you to try to get into your mind is they both have the same view about God. You have to do something for Him. Now, I don't know, those of you that are here, is that clear what I'm trying to communicate here? The view of God has completely changed. On the one hand, I have a view of God. There's nothing I can do for Him. All I can offer Him is my faith. Then that verses of God that I'm going to have to do something for Him. And it may sound wonderful. All I've got to do is repent. All I've got to do is confess. All I've got to do is feel sorry. Offer him my very best. This is the whole thing with Cain that's going to come up in this study. People, Cain did not do something bad. He offered God his very best. But that's the view of God. If I offer God my best, if I offer God my repentance, if I offer God a clean slate, okay, boy, I really sinned yesterday, so I'm going to offer God a clean slate today, and that's going to balance it out. That's my view of God. You do good, God blesses. You do bad, God curses. That's my view of God. I distorted the truth about God. And I don't care what you teach now. I don't care what you teach on how to be restored. You can make it one little simple thing like repentance or confession or feeling sorry. You can make it a big long list of things you got to do in the church. I don't care. You have bought this view of God that you got to do something for him instead of just trust him like you did at the cross. That's what he's got to do. And the better the lie, the better the false teacher. And again, we saw this last week. What's a good lie? The better lie is where it sounds like it's truth. And you don't even know that you've been taken from grace to works. And you're still calling it grace. Makes it sound so good. Sound so right that people believe it. God wants you to repent. Does God want us to repent? Yeah. Got to confess. Does God want us to confess? Yeah. Got to feel sorry sometimes. God wants it? Yeah. But is that what causes God to act in our life? No. That's not what kind of God he is. You can't offer him anything. You cannot offer him your best. All that you can offer God to cause God to act in our life is Father, I trust the one you sent. Bingo. That's it. God wants you to confess, be sorry, invite Jesus into your heart, make him Lord, all those kind of things for salvation one. Salvation two is the same thing. You've got to do this, you've got to do that to be restored from sin. And while on the surface, people, and please, those of some of you listening to tapes and internet, while on the surface, this may not sound like much to you. It may sound like, boy, he's just splitting hairs here. But in the war, spiritual warfare, this is the central issue about God. How you see that you're saved is your view of God. We studied this in our communion series some time ago on a better covenant. Got two covenants. You got one covenant that's conditional. If you do for me, I do for you. You got another covenant that's unconditional. You just trust me. I'll do it. It's the view of God. It's the view of God. How you see God. So Jude is writing to fight for faith, and he illustrates here why. Because there's always the attack to distort the truth of God and how to be reconciled with God. Distort the order of things. Distort the truth of the gospel. If you think you're saved or restored as a believer from sin by doing anything, there's a different view of God than believing that you are saved or restored simply by trusting. Different view of God. And that's the false teacher's viewpoint. Now, Jude gives some fundamental illustrations, historical illustrations, of the distortion of God's order. What's his objective? The objective is to show us the distorting of the order of the gospel. The objective of distorting the view of God and being in harmony with God. So let's get to work now. Verse 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Okay. Let's just talk about punishment of eternal fire so that we can just get right to the point so you see. Is anyone going to spend eternity in the lake of fire because they were homosexual? No. So something else is going on here. Something else is going on. You've got to be honest with the text. People, preachers like to get up at this and just scream and shout and holler. How does it all go to hell and burn forever? That's not true. That's not true. Whether or not, whatever we want to do with the discussion of punishment and eternal fire, There's only one reason she would ever experience it anyway. Improper reconciliation with God. Failing to be reconciled with God. We could say fail to be saved. Not in proper salvation state with God. These kind of things. That's what does it. So there we start our little thinking. What's going on in the passage? Okay, let's take a look. Note the phrase, went after strange flesh. Okay, this does not talk about strange wild women who dress in strange ways. Let's talk about strange flesh. It explains the relationship of verses 6 and 7 with verse 7. The word strange, this is the Greek word heteros, H-E-T-E-R-O-S, and I say that because there's another word that's used the same way, but the word heteros means different. Different. Another of a different kind. Now, be sure you get this because you're not going to understand it related to homosexuality if you don't understand this. Different than God's design. Different than God's design. This is also very important when we come in John 14 to another helper, another of the same kind, and bringing woman to man, a helpmate corresponding to him. See, Adam, Eve, they were not different. They were not different of a different kind. Were they different? Yeah, male, female. But that was God's order, design. They were the same kind by the design of God. Now, let's get to work. Context of verse 6. Context of verse 6, supernatural creatures, we studied this last time, supernatural creatures, angels, went after, and I'll stay with the text here, went after flesh. Not designed for them. And if you take a note, that's the important phrase. They went after sexual relationships with that not designed for them. Therefore, a different kind than was designed for them, a different order. They being supernatural went after flesh of a lower creation. Homosexuality in Sodom and Gomorrah, where males go after a flesh not designed for them. One could say they went after flesh of a different kind. That's not, you'd miss the point of the word here and what's going on. They're going after that which is not designed for them. Now, parentheses. Parentheses. Homosexuality. Big headlines, big denomination ordaining homosexuals, all this kind of thing in the ministry. Many different denominations have different teachings. It's not a sin, these kinds of things. People, I've done this before, I'm not going to do it tonight. There are so many passages that make it so clear. Not only is homosexuality a sin, it's a perversion. It's a distortion. There is sexual, what we'll call normal or natural sexual immorality. We call one fornication, not involving a married couple, just giving a very quick definition, and adultery involving a married couple. Not a distortion. Homosexuality is not only a sin. Lesbianism is not only a sin, it's an abomination. Now, how can they do this with the Bible, then? These are false teachers, boy, because they take the Bible. And I'm glad that that comes into your mind. I'm glad it comes to your mind. They do this. So clearly talk. Now, and there's so many Christians that are just, they're crusades against the homosexuality. And I mean, boy, it is, they just, it's the worst thing, and it's this, and this, and this, and they just go into just tirades of sermons and all the rest of it. How many preachers who will just stand adamantly fight against homosexuality, the distortion of God's design, teach a false gospel on how to be saved and how to be restored and not be disturbed one bit? I hope homosexuality disturbs you. But more so, false gospel. For unbeliever or believer. How to be saved, how to be restored as a believer. Many Christians will tolerate, I mean tolerate, accept, welcome, praise men who preach a gospel that is contrary to just trusting him for the unbeliever or believer, and they embrace this guy, think he's great, though he's against homosexuality, and he's against all this stuff, and turn right around and distort the whole truth of the gospel, and they embrace him and hug him and love him. He's a great Bible teacher. He's a great teacher on the radio, TV, whatever it is. Sell a lot of books. Lordship salvation. Biting Jesus. Do this and do that. For recovery. And boy, they accept it. See, the false gospel doesn't disturb them. That's why Jude is using this as an example. Because at this point, Christians are very alarmed by the homosexuality that they have been introduced to by one, Gentiles who are becoming Christians, and two, Jews who have become Christians and now who are under the influence of the Roman Empire, where homosexuality is an everyday occurrence. Soldiers travel with little boys. They're now being subject to that for like maybe the first time, they being Christians, because in the Jews they didn't, and then they're now coming into the body of Christ are Gentiles who accept that kind of behavior, and here somebody is, oh my goodness, this is just horrible. So Jude is taking that which just really offends people and says, are you offended about the gospel? The distortion of the gospel? That offend you? No, it doesn't offend me. He's a great Bible teacher. He's a great person. He's wonderful and all of this. He's against homosexuality, and he's for motherhood and apple pie, and he's for this and for that and all these wonderful things. And boy, people, I'm here to tell you, pastor gets behind the pulpit, teaches a gospel for the unbeliever or believer, contrary to the truth of just trusting God, is an abomination. The false teacher. That's what Jesus is doing here. So let's don't get alarmed about and shocked that people can read the Bible and say that homosexuality is all right, when people can read the Bible and say that a false gospel is all right. The way to be saved and the way to be restored, other than just trusting, is all right. Now, in our text, in Jude, there's something far more important going on than just angels going after earthly women and males going after males. People, let me help you again. I tried to help you just a little bit with that punishment and fire. People don't go to hell because of these things. But let me just ask you, is angels having relationship with man and all of this, is this any problem anymore since God has locked it all out like the angels really can't do it? It's not a problem. Then why is he making it an issue? We got to ask questions. I think I've shared with you before. Boy, since around 1990-91, I still do my exegetical work, people. I use all the training that I've learned at Dallas Seminar and have built on it, learning from the grammars and that. But I study one little thing just very strongly. Why? Why? What's going on? Why does he use an example that has no meaning whatsoever? See, we could all say, if it was about homosexuality, we could all say, okay, that's what it's about. But he uses another example first, and that doesn't apply to any of us. So we want to see what Jude is doing. There's a lot more going on. This is a good way to word it. This is not a sermon against homosexuality. He assumes that homosexuality is a sin and wrong and a perversion. That's the best way to look at this. It comes from the basis, I don't want to teach you it's wrong. I'm assuming you know that. I'm assuming that disturbs you. And now I want to show you about false teachers and how they do, how they work. That's what Jude has done. What do these two have in common in the spiritual warfare? What do these two, the angels infiltrating and Sodom and Gomorrah, what do these two have in common in the spiritual warfare and Satan's objective? Okay, here it is. Here's the answer. If you're thinking with me, I'm developing a test. What do these two examples have to do in context? What do they have to do with the spiritual warfare? And what are, how they relate with Satan's objectives? Okay, here's the answer. To prevent God from keeping his promise. Prevent God from keeping his promise. What the angels did is the same problem related to Sodom and Gomorrah. Transgress the order of creation. Transgress the order of creation of God's design. Listen to this. Think about this. Transgress divine order. That's why he's using these examples. This is at the heart of distorting the gospel, people. This is at the heart of distorting the gospel. If I can transgress the truth of the gospel, I transgress the whole divine order on how to be restored with him as Christians. And very few will ever then be. I want to quote you. So if you won't think this is just Herman sitting over in his office and sit there alone, I want to read to you from Richard J. Bachman, B-A-U-C-K-H-A-M. He writes commentaries. This is what he had to say in the commentary of Jude. I'll quote it for you, just a little bit. Jude's intention, I'm quote right out of his book, Jude's intention in stressing here the peculiar sexual offenses of both the watchers. I love that. But when I read that, I went, whoa! Because what have we seen the angels are? They're watchers. We've seen how they are the arena. It's causing me, I want to go and see if this guy wrote any more and what else, where he comes from, and see how well he's got this. But he calls angels watchers. And I loved it. I went, wow, what a great thing. Because, and he's even got to capitalize. Because we've seen from Job that there's an arena, the earth's in the arena, and angels are watching you, people. Angels are watching you. Angels are watching your relationship with God. You offer God your penance, your confessions, your sorrows, your lordships, and your this and your that. The angels then look and say, is what they're offering you going to be good enough for you to do for them? But boy, when you and I come up to God with our empty hand and we offer him nothing but our faith, then all the angels have to look at God and say, boy, is that going to be enough? They're not offering you anything. And I love it. Man, that's enough of that. I'm not here to exegete Boston. I'm having enough trouble exegeting Jude. But let me read to you. Jude's intention in stressing here the peculiar sexual offenses of both the watchers and the sodomites is probably, and I agree with him, is probably to highlight the shocking character of the false teachers. Violation of God-given order. From the sexual to the gospel. Out of that, if you're listening on the tape, they can tell here that I'm not quoting. Let me quote and then I'll let you. Jude's intention in stressing here the peculiar sexual offenses of both the watchers and the sodomites is probably to highlight the shocking character of the false teacher's violation of a God-given order. Now, what he's doing here, people, end quote. What he's doing here, Jude is going to use this to show you the distortion of God's order in regard to the truth. This is exactly what I'm trying to say to you to convey. God has a wonderful grace order of being saved and delivered and restored, blessed. So wonderful. And it's just faith. It's that simple. It's that simple. And the false teachers want to come along and distort it. Jude is using the example of angelic cohabitation. He's using the example of angelic cohabitation with homo sapiens and the homosexuality as distorting the divine order with changing or distorting the truth of the gospel. That's what Jesus is trying to teach. From one of grace through faith to one of grace through works. And call it grace. An angel cohabitating with humanity is like man trying to be reconciled with God by doing something. That's when you can distort that, then you can distort how man's going to be reconciled with God. Male with male is like distorting the grace on how to be restored with God as a believer. just powerful what he's doing. Now, if homosexuality, and I don't know, but if homosexuality disturbs you, if homosexuality is repulsive, and it is to me, I'm very sorry. And I mean this. I'm not being prudish. In these kind of things, I'm sorry that my mind knows the words and knows what that means. It is such a disgusting, dirty, lewd thing that has to enter my mind when I just say the words and I know it. I hate that. So if this is repulsive to you, then people, any distortion of the gospel for the unbeliever on how to be restored with God eternally, any distortion on the gospel for the believer on how to be in reconcile with God out of sin, people, it ought to repulse us. If these other things repulse you, that ought to repulse you more. When someone says you're saved from the penalty of sin or saved from the power of sin by something you do or say, it should disturb us. It should repulse us. What? To fight for faith. Remember Jesus' objective, to fight for faith. This should repulse us. Christians are out there fighting all the time to stop homosexuality. All kinds of things going on, but not against the gospel. Not against a false gospel. We just accept it. We buy the books. We praise them on TV, radio, all this stuff. They get up and they say whatever they want. Oh, you do this and do that. Oh, it's so wonderful. He's such a great teacher and all this. Doesn't repulse us at all. Doesn't repulse us at all. It's the state that we're in. The state that we're in. Any Christians fighting homosexuality while they themselves are preaching a gospel that is distorted from truth. That's what they look like before God. And what they're doing will keep people. If we want to use this word about eternal damnation, what they're doing is far worse than the homosexual. Homosexual preaching from the pulpit horrifies us. It horrifies me, people. That's the whole point. What ought to horrify us more is some man who is straight sexually but distorted in spiritual truth. But we go to church and we listen to him by the hundreds of thousands across this country, and we accept them. There are Christians who would never accept a homosexual as a pastor, nor should they. But they turn right around and accept. Some teacher gets up and says, you've got to do this to be saved. You've got to do that to be restored from sin. But it's not just that. That ought to horrify us. To say that it is right, here's a principle. To say that it is right for angels to cohabitate with a woman is like saying that an unbeliever can be reconciled with God by doing something. I can make the long list. To say that it is right for a male to be with a male is like saying that it is right for a born-again believer who is in sin to be reconciled with God by doing something like confession or repentance or sorrow or something he does. The same thing. That's what this whole point's about. That's what he's talking about. As these distortions are such a violation of divine order, so is the distortion of the truth of the gospel. Do not become as watchers whom God is keeping in bonds under darkness for judgment of the great day. Do not become like the Sodomites who are under the punishment of eternal death. How do we become like them? By distorting the divine order of salvation, spirituality. If you don't want to be like Sodom and Gomorrah, it is not just a matter of distorting God's physical people. Listen, if you don't want to be like Sodom and Gomorrah, it is not just a matter of distorting God's physical. There is a spiritual thing going on that Jude is talking about. The physical is used to teach the spiritual. And people can see the physical. I don't want to be a Sodomite. Don't want to be identified with Gomorrah. But I want to teach this false gospel, and I want to come to it, and I want to accept it, and I want to embrace it. So important that we see what he's doing, in my opinion. So we distort the divine order of simple faith for man coming to God. That's how we do what he's talking about here. If you don't want to become like Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodomite, it's not a matter of physical being only, it's spiritual. Now, is the physical here? Yes. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that's an assumption. That's assumed. We're building off of something that we're going to assume everybody knows. Everybody knows homosexuality is wrong and it's a distortion. Now, I'm going to take what you know and I'm going to show you about the gospel. That's what Jesus did. And it's just that bad before God. It's just that bad before God. The objective of the false teachers is to distort God's design. Let me give you an illustration. Man with man is distorting God's design. That's what Jesus is doing. The objective of the false teacher is to distort God's design by making it sound right. Here are people trying to make homosexuality sound acceptable, trying to make salvation being by the work of man and spirituality by the work of man sound acceptable before God. Those is a good idea of comparing the two. How do we know we're on the right track? How do we know? Look what it says. Are exhibited as an example. See it in the text? Are exhibited as an example. Jude here is not talking against homosexuality any more than he is evangelic cohabitation with man. Jude is giving us an example of distortion of God's design. That's what he's doing. God's attitude toward proper and distorted order of sexual activity is God's attitude of distortion of the truth of the gospel. He continues in verse 8. Yet in the same manner, these men also, by dreaming, defile the flesh, reject authority, and revile angelic majesties. Okay. First question we've got to ask, what people? These, in the same manner, these men. What men? Who is Jude referring to? He's referring to the false teachers. These men refer to the false teachers who come in to distort the truth of the gospel, to distort God's order on being restored with him. The evil and danger of the false teachers is to be compared with the evil and distortion of those in the previous verses. Note the three categories of the sinful evil damage of the false teachers. Note them. One, defile the flesh. Two, reject authority. Three, revile angelic majesties. The King James says, speak evil of dignities. The NIV, slander celestial beings. I guess for clarity, the NIV is pretty close here. If you know what vile means, the New American Standard is fine. Revile angelic majesties are to speak slanderously toward the angelic beings. Okay, let me help you. If we go back to Genesis, to the original false teaching of Satan, we find all three as primary issues. Let me show you. One, at the false teaching of Satan to Eve in the garden, he defiled the flesh. What happened to Eve and Adam when they ate? The flesh, we studied this in our study of stress, anxiety, and depression. What happened? One, the flesh is continually corrupted now. The foul of the flesh is continually corrupted. Two, it is deceitful above all else. Three, it is incurably wounded. Four, it is full of evil. And five, it's insane. I think that's takes care of number one, defiling the flesh. See, but what if I want to be the kind of preacher? What do most preachers do? This? Oh, this sucks. Oh, no, no, no. Homosexuality, you defile the flesh. Do you defile the flesh and homosexuality? Yes. Is that what you're talking about? People, get out of that. Get to the truth. Get to what really is going on. This is not a pamphlet on anti-homosexuality. This is an epistle on false teachers. Standing firm for faith. It's not the second one, reject authority. That one's simple. Point two, teaching of Satan, reject the authority of God. He says, don't eat, you eat. Oh boy, number three, slandering celestial beings. Slandering celestial beings. I don't know how long God's going to keep me on this, but I hope not long, because my prayers, I want to talk a long time on this. But let's take a look at what we're talking about. Point three, really important. To slander celestial beings. People, many false teachers do this all the time. Not only do they slander other believers, they slander celestial beings. Now this is powerful. Jude's going to go on with this. So let me see if I can help you. Let's read verse 9. What we're going to do is read verse 8, 9, 10, and 11, because now we have a flow. Now what I need next week is to do this, if I can, all at one time. Don't bet on that, but we'll see what we can do. Verse 8, yet in the same manner these men, these false teachers, also by dreaming, now note the three things, defile the flesh, reject authority, revile angelic majesties. Now, let's talk about the importance. See, the importance isn't just one of these, like sex. Look at who's going to pick up. He's going to make a big issue out of reviling angelic majesties. I'm going to ask you a question. This is a joke. Don't answer out loud. When's the last time you reviled angels? When's the last time you reviled or slandered angels? Well, let's see. Well, here I hope that I've done enough teaching you know better, but let's take a look at what we have going on. Look at verse 9. But Michael, the archangel, now, is Michael superior to us in creation existence? Yeah. He's, in the sense of creation, he's equal in the creation level of Satan, right? Lucifer. Okay. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, I wish we could take a long time because that's a great deal. And secondly, I just hope, because we can do it, so I hope God did it. I hope he videoed this. I hope we get to heaven, whatever it is. We've gone from videos now to DVDs, so whatever it is in heaven. I hope that this is on whatever is there by then, DVD or whatever, that we can go into this library and sit down and see this. But anyway, he argued about the body of Moses. Look what even Michael would not do. Did not dare, see what dare, did not dare pronounce against Satan, the devil, a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. I'm leaving you alone. Verse 10. But these men slander and speak the things, look what it says, they do not understand. How many preachers, it's the devil, and they'll damn the devil and slander the devil and attack the devil. They don't even understand the issue. And the things, look what it says, and the things which they know by instinct. And we're going to name one of our cases, natural instinct, to play off of the movie. So what's the natural instinct of man? We'll do it when we get there. People, it's not sex. The natural instinct that we're going to see, the natural instinct is Satan's lie, performance, the law. Like unreasoning animals, by these things they are destroyed. What destroys us? The law. The law kills. Verse 11, woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and prepared, they have rushed headlong into the era of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. That verse is where we want to get. That's what kind of brought us here. But I had so much fun in getting us here. Because this is a powerful little epistle. Powerful epistle. But before we get to that, look at the phrase, also by dreaming. Also by dreaming. Well, I've got some things I want to do with also by dreaming, and I don't want to rush it. So we'll pick it up, but with their dreaming and what that means. Well, see, this is going to be a follow-up now. Next Tuesday night, I really pray you'll come. Dan and Pat have come with a missionary that they support. They want us to meet him. And we have Leslie, if we can have some refreshment, just a little, maybe just drink and, I don't know, Krispy Kreme. I hate doing that to people's bodies. But maybe we'll have Krispy Kreme in one thing and then a bowl of celery in another or something. I don't know. But if we could have a little something and put a little refreshment, a little time together with the missionary and let him speak, but also very informal, kind of let him know this. So that'll be next week. And but I don't want to leave you since it will be 2 weeks. I won't give you the whole study, but let me just tell you about also by dreaming. Why does he use that phrase? Because false teachers, and I'm going to show you this, false teachers get a lot of their false doctrine through dreams in the night, in darkness. And I'm going to show you that. Now, it's a little peculiar because there's some authentic teaching in dreams also. But I want to show you how it's well documented from my book that I love, Job, all the way through, that false teachers get it in these dreams that Satan gives to them in darkness. And I'll show you that. But that's why he's using the word dream here, so that you at least can put this together at this point. Okay. To make sense, what we did with the Sodom and Gomorrah, because when you talk to others, they're not going to see that. And I sat down and his father is powerful, and I hope we can make it clear and simple, because it is to me what Jude is doing. You always bear in mind his objective. Fight for the faith because they're false teachers who want to distort the truth of the gospel. Everything's going to fit in the box. Closing prayer. Heavenly Father, false teachers have been among us since the garden. Satan disguised himself in the beautiful serpent and taught false. Sounded right. Job, all the way through Scripture. And then Jude beckons us, and Peter beckons us in the church age. They're going to be with us all through the church age. They're going to sound right, they're going to look right, and we're going to think we can spot them. We're going to think we can spot them. We're going to think we can avoid them. And we're going to be sucking in. Unless we just walk by faith, trusting your Spirit to guide us, to open our eyes and our ears to the truth of what kind of God you are. We just want us to trust you. Father, we praise you for the God you are. In your Son's precious name, amen.